can you tell me where Hitchbot is right now? And for example, do you know who picked it up from Marblehead today?
Yeah, I do. It was a nice family vacationing from Aachen, Germany. And they drove by just as I was kind of sitting, you know, looking out over the harbor at Marblehead. And I could see this teenager, you know, do a double take, you know, at the side window. And but the car kept moving. And about 5 minutes later, they returned and came up and, you know, wanted to know all about it. The teenager had seen it on television, on a network special in Germany. Okay, I can't hear you, here.
You say the teenager had seen it on a network special in Germany, and so he knew all about it.
Yeah, I guess he convinced his mom to turn the car around, and they came back and started to talk to us and decided that they wanted to take it with them on their trip.
Now, they're touring America, are they?
I'm not sure how far or, you know, what the extent of their travels are, but I think that they might be planning to take it to New York City.
Are they stopping here in Boston?
I would imagine that they might stop in Boston. I think they are, you know, basically touring the Eastern Seaboard and kind of working their way south. So we can, you know, people who want to follow Hitchbot's whereabouts certainly can go to the website hitchbot.me, and they will see there's an interactive map, and Hitchbot kind of posts its GPS location. And it'll actually make a drawing of its route everywhere it goes in the U.S.
And now, in this particular case, when they stopped and they saw you, I mean, you spoke to the teenager, you spoke to the family as well, but that's kind of unusual.
Yes.
Usually the robot itself is just sitting on the side of the road and people will come up to it, right?
That's right. And this is today was the first ride of what we hope will be a big adventure. So we kind of we did this in Canada too. We kind of put out the bot and kind of hung back and waited to see what happened. This morning we were there for a few hours actually before we had this family came by. One and a half hours before somebody actually picked it up. But we had a few nibbles in that hour and a half. So we had a ride, offer for a kayak ride. That one was kind of, reconsidered because, the fellow who wanted to take it in a kayak realized that if it got wet, that would probably be the end of Hitchbot.
I can understand that. I mean, you must, I kind of wanted to come up there and sit there with you and see how things were going, but... But I didn't get that response from your person back in Ontario, so I wasn't able to.
It's very difficult. We were uncertain about where to go. We're not really very familiar with the local geography or what the traffic is like, and so part of our concern is always we don't want to create a spectacle where it might be dangerous. So we basically settled on Marblehead. Was last minute.
Well, that's a beautiful place, Marblehead. I've been up there many times. I have a friend up there. So were you like right on that? Was that 1A next to the water there, waiting?
Right beside the Barnacle. Right beside the Barnacle Inn. And we actually, we got a little bit hot and tired of waiting in the sun, so we actually left the bot for a while and went off and had lunch in the Barnacle. And when we came back out, then there started to be a little bit more activity then. There was a bit of a crowd around it by then.
Now, this you're going to go back to Canada and hope this thing makes it to San Francisco. Is that what's going to happen next?
Yep. Yeah. You know, Frauke and I get back on a plane tomorrow. And we just, you know, like everyone else, you know, kind of watch the story as it unfolds, which is kind of the fun of it. We've created a character that, you know, has a personality. It has a quest. And, you know, so it sets out on this journey. And no one really knows how that will end up. And I think that's part of the appeal. And especially that, you know, that it requires, you know, kind of a goodwill and empathy, you know, from, you know, person, you know, to the bot, but also between people as well. What we've seen so far with Hitchbot is that it seems to convene, you know, a focus where people get together and talk and laugh and you know, kind of exchange stories. And that's also happening on social media as well.
Well, I mean, you kind of want someone who's picked it up of this family. You would hope that they have a responsibility for it and then hand it off to the next person. But doesn't it sometimes get stuck? I mean, just left on the side of the road to defend for itself?
Yeah. We had there was a couple times in Canada where you know, somebody took it as far as they were going. And they left it at a picnic shelter or, you know, a tourist information center, campground. I think it's also been left in a bar. But, you know, generally people, you know, kind of look out for it. It's pretty, you know, charming and somewhat humorous at times. Just today there was a really funny thing that happened. Just as we were setting it out on the side of the road, it said, I think I changed my mind.
What do you think I meant by that?
We don't know, but it just seemed funny, you know. We're it's like we're dropping this bot off and saying, okay, we're going to leave you here now, and you know, somebody who knows who will come by and pick you up, and the bot says, I think I've changed my mind. So.
Well, now you programmed it to
yeah.
say that, didn't you? I mean, that's one of the things that you created.
Well, no, not necessarily. What's the way the language modeling works in there? There's two layers. There's a deep layer, which is a crowdsourced database of conversations that people have had with CleverScript and CleverBot, and so we're accessing that crowdsourced database of responses. And on top of that, we've written our own kind of Hitchbot and USA trip specific dialogue as well. And so it's entirely capable of surprising us all the time, because there's, I believe, about 2 million lines in that deeper database.
That's very funny. So it did this morning, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I only have 40 seconds to do this. How much does this thing, I mean, this must be asked you all the time, how much does this thing cost? I'm sure there's a lot
it's,
of emotional.
It's low cost. You know, if you look at it, you can see that it's assembled out of bits and pieces out of our basement. And it has some very cheap electronics inside. So it's not worth very much. Everything that we've used inside of that, the bot, has been broken in some way in order to make it work for our purposes here. So, you know, at best what we say, we don't like to put a value on it, because it's got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of person hours in there to make it work. But in terms of material worth, not much.
More than $500?
Yeah, you could probably say that, but in general, we don't like to talk about the dollar value.
No, I understand.
Something we're leaving on the road, so it's basically, you know, trust me, something that, you know, and like when you think about it, you know, the fun of this project and you know the appeal of it is that, you know, it's a pretty wacky, you know, idea. It's a robot hitchhiking on its own out in the world. And if it's not doing that, it's not very much fun. You know, so, and trust me, no, I don't think anybody would want to hang on to it for too long because, frankly, you know, it's always talking to you, you know, and sometimes you might want to break from that.
That's very funny. I just had to put on the mic off so that I could laugh and it wouldn't be picked up on the sound. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time. What I do is, as I say, produce a 35, 40-second story, and I send it to the network, and they distribute it to some 1,000 radio stations throughout the country, and then they play it as they
wow.
want. They'll play it on the they'll play it on the network because my editor just said he really likes the story, so I think that you'll get
some, well, great. Some well, you guys, if you're following along on the website, you know, the Twitter feed, it's amazing. It's just, it's like alive, you know, there's something happening almost every 10 seconds or so.
Well, I was.
Almost every second.
I was on the Twitter feed, but
yeah.
I friended it. I'm Bill in China. And
yeah.
I wasn't getting, I'm one of a million.
The feed? Oh, just search the all tweets, Hitchbot. You know, so you just search Hitchbot and then hit the all tweets instead of the ones that are just coming from Hitchbot. And you'll see it's constantly updating. And then, of course, on the website, too, they're you know, kind of featuring that stuff as well.
I pitched my first ride. Everything is hunky-dory. And there's a picture with...
yeah.
So now this is... Okay.
No, well, that'll be
3 hours ago. And
that's the Hitchbot. Now you have to go all tweets. Anybody who's referenced Hitchbot.
Tweets and replies. Where's all tweets?
All tweets. I don't know. I use my iPhone and the Twitter app.
I don't know. It's got 34,500 followers, my God. Okay.
Yeah, an extra thousand as of a couple hours ago.
Thanks. Hey, listen, thanks a lot. I want to get this done.
Okay, talk to you.
I hope
bye-bye.
You get a ride to the airport.
Yeah, we'll be lucky. Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.